Well, welcome everybody, and good to see you all this evening. Nice big group, kind of filling this place now, aren't we? but it's good to see you all, and a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. If this is your first time here, then please relax, don't worry. The idea of meditation is that it's relaxing, so don't get uptight about what you're doing or whether you're doing the right thing. There's nothing wrong you can do, okay? We're just here to practice meditating together. And I will be guiding us through the whole meditation, so there's nothing you need to know beforehand. So welcome to those of you who are here for the first time, and of course, welcome to all you old-timers as well. A couple of weeks ago, for those of us who are here, we talked about the hindrances, the things that get in the way of our meditation. And one of the traditional things that gets in the way of meditation, that makes our meditation difficult, is what's called ill will, basically anger or hatred or aversion, trying to meditate and all that you have in your mind is you're annoyed with somebody or you're annoyed with yourself because you're not very good at it or you think you're not very good at it, or you're annoyed with the world for the day it's given you, or whatever it is, that these things come up in our mind as we try to meditate and get in the way of the meditation. And we talked a little bit about that, but very quickly, and I thought that it would be good to come back to what we do with anger and ill will. And because remember that when we meditate, there's nothing magic about sitting on a cushion, okay? It's not that there's a special place that's happening here that's totally divorced from our real world lives. What we do when we sit on the cushion and meditate is we practice so that when we go out into the real world, we are better people and we approach the real world with a better understanding of what the world is and who we are in it. So it's not divorced. So when we work with things like anger in our meditation, we're not doing it just because of the meditation to make our meditation better. We're doing it because we can do that in the real world as well. And that the choices we practice when we meditate are reflected in the choices that we exhibit when we go out, when we stand off the cushion and go out into the world. And I use the word choices very specifically because we have a tendency to think of our emotions as things that other people do to us. Oh, Fred did such and such, and he made me angry. Okay? We actually put the blame on the other person. Whereas actually in reality, what we have to do is say, Fred did such and such, and I chose to be angry because of that. Okay? And when we can get that separation and actually own our own feelings, then that's quite liberating because it's the first step to being able to work with our feelings. Instead of blaming somebody else for our feelings and emotions, if instead we say, yes, this happened, and I chose to be angry, then we're in a position to work with that. Because for those of us who are sat on the wrong side of enlightenment, we are going to get angry. And in fact, you know, as the old saying goes, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. There are certain things that it's reasonable to feel anger about. But the question is what we do with that anger when we feel it, okay? Do we choose to hold that anger and turn it into hatred? Or do we choose to just recognize and own the anger and say, okay, I became angry. Now I'm not going to allow that to get into ill will and hatred. And if you think of, you know, some of the great figures of the last century, you know, people like Mahatma Gandhi, who had every reason to be angry with the British, but chose to channel it instead into nonviolence. Or the Dalai Lama, who has every reason to be angry with the Chinese, but instead chooses to give to present a message of compassion. And, you know, while those are big things and those are great people, we in our own small way can do the same things. People will do things that will make us angry or make us start to feel angry. Or the world will deal us a hand that makes us angry. Or we will get angry with ourselves. But the difference is what we do when we recognize that anger rising. And what we can do is actually, instead of allowing it to turn into hatred, to turn it into positive feelings. In the Dhammapada, it says this, and this is in quotes, "He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. In those who harbor such thoughts, hatred will never cease. He abused me, he beat me, he defended me, he robbed me. In those who do not harbor such thoughts, hatred will cease." And what that means is, yes, things will go wrong and people will do things to us that we're not happy with, but we can choose whether to focus on that or whether to not focus on that. And there's a saying, actually I spent quite a bit of time this afternoon trying to track down who actually originally said this, and because it's often attributed to the Buddha, but it wasn't actually the Buddha who said it. But there's a popular saying, which is, harboring hatred is like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die. Okay, because at the end of the day, we only harm ourselves when we harbor hatred. Okay, it's not. When we do it, it's ourselves we're hurting. There's actually a better one, which actually does come from the ancient Buddhist scriptures, which says, if you pick up dung and throw it at your enemy, your hand gets covered in dung first. which I think is a nice way of putting it. So the teacher, Philip Moffat, he says the following. "The antidote to anger is loving kindness and compassion. If you're angry with someone, you hold them in your heart with loving kindness and compassion. If you're angry with yourself, you do the same. But because you sometimes get swept away by anger, you forget your intention to respond with loving kindness and compassion. Also, anger isn't always so easy to recognize. Sometimes it's disguised as numbness, depression, helplessness, or fear. By applying mindfulness to your moments of anger, you can begin to see anger as it is, arising and its harmful effects. As you continue to stay present with the anger, you recognize that this anger is not me, not mine. It's just a state of mind that, like the weather, will change before long. This insight releases you from the prison of your anger. Although this may sound simplistic, it truly works." And so, taking on that loving kindness and compassion is the antidote to anger, what I thought we'd do this evening is we'll do our core meditation, which is loving kindness meditation. It's an ancient meditation. For those of you who've not done it before, it's an ancient meditation going back many hundreds of years, where we actually practice and basically role play feeling loving kindness for all the people that we meet. And it's fully guided. You don't need to know anything. But the key thing is to remember that loving kindness is a form of love that is completely unconditional, that you feel for your enemies equally with your friends, and for yourself equally with the people you don't know. So that's the meditation we'll be doing. And so I just wanted to remind you that this meditation of is the perfect antidote to anger. Okay, that this is how one of the ways whether we're angry with ourselves or angry with somebody else or angry with the world or angry with whatever, that this is a meditation we can do that actually helps us transform that anger so that it doesn't turn into hatred, but instead turns into loving kindness. So that's the meditation we're doing this evening. Does anybody have any questions before we get started? And we start our meditation by taking a moment to let go of the things that have been on our minds today. The good stuff, the not so good stuff. Recognizing that some of those things are important and some of those things are really not so important. But for now, just letting go of them all and giving ourselves the gift of being present here to meditate. And becoming aware of the sounds around us. The sound of the traffic in the street. The sound of the air conditioning. The sound of our friends about us. Just being aware and completely accepting of all those sounds. And turning your attention to the place where the weight of your body presses down through the cushion and the mat. Noticing the sensations of pressure on your feet, ankles, legs, knees, backside. And aware that as your body presses downward, so the cushion, the mat, the chair, we're all pressing back upward to support you in this place. And beneath them, the studio floor, the foundations, and ultimately the earth beneath us, are all pressing back upward to support us here. And taking a moment to feel that connection with the earth, the same earth that we share with billions of other people, trillions of other creatures. And from that connection with the earth, noticing your pelvis and your spine arising from your pelvis. And taking a moment to lengthen and straighten your spine, maybe moving gently side to side, backwards and forwards, until you find the place where your body is naturally supported by your spine. And similarly with your neck and your head, gently moving your head, lengthening and straightening your neck until you find the place where your head is naturally supported by your neck. And as your body calms, allowing your mind to calm also. Not fighting with your thoughts, not trying to suppress them. But instead, when a thought arises, just acknowledging it and letting go. And becoming aware of your breathing, noticing the depth and the quality of your breath. Noticing the sensations in the whole of your body as you breathe. Noticing the differences in sensations between when you breathe in and when you breathe out. And allowing your mind to gently rest on your breathing. Just resting in gentle awareness of the process of your breath. Not grasping onto the breath, but just gently aware of the air entering and leaving your body. And using this as a place that your mind can return to if you become distracted, if you wander off. Not beating yourself up, but just gently returning your awareness to your breathing. And now, with your mind still resting on your breathing, bring to mind a place in the past when you felt good about yourself in this world, where things were going well for you. Maybe it was a time very recently. Maybe it was a long time ago. But remember that time and that place when things were going well for you in your life. And as you recall yourself in that time, start feeling feelings of loving kindness, of love, of goodwill and friendliness towards yourself as you remember that time. And allow those feelings of love for yourself to deepen and to grow. And as you do so, remind yourself that true loving kindness, true metta, is not conditional. It's not dependent on whether things are going well or badly for you. But it's something you should feel for yourself all the time. And so instead of just feeling those feelings of love for yourself as you recall the good time, feel those same feelings of loving kindness for yourself right now, in this moment. And as you allow those feelings to deepen and to grow, if you find it helps, silently recite to yourself the mantra, "May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering." And as you do so, allow the feelings of love for yourself unconditionally, regardless of what's going on in your life right now, to deepen and to grow. And now bring to mind a friend, somebody who you find easy to like. Bring to mind a specific person, and as you do so, start feeling feelings of loving kindness for that person. The same feelings that you've been feeling for yourself. Recognizing that you share a lot in common with that person. that you're both human, you both know suffering. And if you could, you would take that suffering away from that person. And so as you bring that person to mind, start feeling feelings of loving kindness, of goodwill, of friendliness to that person. And again, allowing those feelings for that person to deepen and to grow. And again, if you find it helpful, using the mantra, may you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. May you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. And now bring to mind a neutral person, someone whose face you would recognize. Maybe you know their first name, but who you know very little about. Maybe it's the barista who gives you the coffee in the morning, somebody you pass on your way to work, or somebody on the checkout at the supermarket. Just somebody you recognize but really know nothing about. And with that person brought to mind, start feeling feelings of loving kindness for them. Not knowing whether you'd naturally like or dislike that person. Not knowing whether you'd naturally approve or disapprove of the choices they make in their life, but recognizing that, like you, they're human and they know suffering, and you would wish them not to have that suffering. And so start feeling those same feelings of loving kindness for that neutral person. And again, using the mantra, may you be well, may you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. And now bring to mind a difficult person, an enemy, somebody who you find hard to like. Maybe it's somebody who is giving you difficulty in your life right now. Maybe it's somebody who you feel has hurt you in the past. Maybe it's just your least favorite politician. Whoever it is, bring that person to mind, and again, recognizing that like you, they're human, and that despite your differences, you share so much deep down. And so start feeling feelings of loving kindness for that person. Same feelings of love, of goodwill, of friendliness that you felt for yourself and the friend and the neutral person. And again, using the mantra, may you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. May you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. And now imagine that the four of you, the four people you've brought to mind for this meditation, were standing here in the studio this evening. Yourself, your friend, the neutral person, and the difficult person. Imagine that the four of you are standing here and start to feel feelings of loving kindness for all four of you together. Yourself, who you know so well. The neutral person, who you know so little about. The friend, who you find easy to like. The enemy, who you find hard to like. But feeling feelings of loving kindness for each of the four of you. And recognizing any differences, recognizing any difficulties you have as you feel love for each of the four of you. And starting just to equalize the feeling of loving kindness for each of the four of you. And now expanding outwards to include everybody who's in the studio here this evening, some of whom you may know very well, many of whom you may not know at all. But feel feelings of loving kindness for every person, unconditionally, who sat here with us this evening. And now expanding outwards to include everybody who lives in this area, Vancouver, Camas, Washougal, some of whom you may know, most of whom you won't know at all. But feeling feelings of loving kindness for every single person who lives in this area, not based on your judgment of whether you think they're good people or bad people, but instead just recognizing the common humanity you have with them, knowing that they all know suffering in one way or another, and wishing them all to be well, happy, and free from suffering. And expanding outwards to include everybody in Portland and the Portland metro area, all 1.5 million or so people, the majority of whom you don't know, but knowing that you share a common humanity with them, and so wishing every single one of them to be well, happy, and free from suffering. And expanding northwards, out through Olympia, through Seattle, to the Canadian border, eastwards, out to the coast, westwards, out to the coast, eastwards along the gorge, out through Idaho, south, down through Salem, Eugene, all the way to the California border. Until you've included everybody in this Pacific Northwest, and you're wishing them all to be well, happy, and free from suffering. And continuing to expand out eastwards, across the Midwest and out to the East Coast, south down through California, until you've included everybody in the mainland USA, and you're wishing them all to be well, happy, and free from suffering, whoever they are. And then continuing north, across through Canada, through Alaska, west across the Pacific, east across the Atlantic, south through Central America, South America, across the poles and wrapping around the whole of this earth, including all of the continents on this earth, wishing all 7 billion or so people to be well, happy, and free from suffering. And expanding outwards into the universe, not knowing if there are sentient beings out there, but telling yourself that if there are, And if they know suffering, that you would wish them to be free from that suffering. And so expanding out until you have a loving heart the size of this whole universe. And just pausing for a moment and feeling what it's like to have an all-inclusive loving heart that can love every single being in this universe. Now very gently, without letting go of that feeling of having a loving heart the size of this universe, gently return your awareness to being here in the studio with a group of friends. And now we'll dedicate the merit. May all beings, without limit, without end, have a share in the merit just now made, and in whatever other merit I have made. May they attain liberation, and their radiant hopes be fulfilled.